Hey cuties, this is Deidre C.
Hey cuties, it's Jay Nicole.
And welcome to the Queen Team Podcast.
A place to cultivate your queendom.
Hey cuties, thanks for joining us this week. We have a special treat today in our Queen's Chambers, but before we get to that, Janisha, guess what it is?
What is it? I can't wait.
It's August. It's International Breastfeeding Month.
Yes. And my favorite month.
I mean, it's part of the dream that you always had, and now you hear supporting breastfeeding women.
Yes.
And so that's very exciting. All month long, there have been a variety of different celebrations and events to commemorate and bring awareness towards breastfeeding. On the very first weekend of the month, there was what we call the Big Latch On. And so people and groups all over the world got together and latched the babies on at the same time.
So awesome.
Yeah. Here in our community or with the group that we work with, I think they had something like 36 or 38 moms all latch on. Do you know what the last week of August is?
I know.
Tell us a little bit about it. What's the last week of August?
It's Black Breastfeeding Week.
Yeah.
Where's the clapper?
Oh, I should find a buzz track.
Yes.
I'll just pop that in there. So, yes, it's Black Breastfeeding Week. And some might see like, but doesn't all breastfeeding matter?
Here we go.
It's all right. I'm not going to get into it. We're going to be talking more about that in the Queen's Chambers. But it really is great to have visibility, to see people like you breastfeed. And the majority of the advertising, the majority of textbooks, the majority of breastfeeding paraphernalia is with majority culture.
Right.
It's displaying majority culture. And so Black Breastfeeding Week is a space and time to highlight and celebrate and to give an example to Black women who may not be of childbearing age or may not be breastfeeding right now, to encourage them that they can do it too, because Black women are out there doing
it.
Yeah,
we are.
Yeah. In addition to that, statistically, Black women have one of the lowest rates of breastfeeding. I will link in our show notes to a couple studies because I don't have the numbers right off of my head. But having this week helps to support that. And the theme this year is Love on Top.
Yes.
Yes. And so I love that. And so check out our feed and even our personal feeds for some more information about Black Breastfeeding Week, maybe sharing a little bit about our own. Well, at least I'll be sharing a little bit about my own personal breastfeeding journey. And we want to know a little bit more about yours as well, which we'll talk about at the end of our podcast today.
Yes.
Yeah. So what do we do to celebrate Black Breastfeeding Week? Because we're doing it here on the Queen Team.
So yeah, we want to, you know, celebrate Black Breastfeeding Week by inviting a special guest onto our show. Her name is Devonna, and it is Deidre's really good friend, and I was happy to meet her and get to know her. She knows so much, and she just has a beautiful spirit.
She really does.
She just has a beautiful spirit, so I can't wait for you guys to get to know her a little bit as we enter the Queen's Chambers. But Deidre, tell us about Devonna.
So she's an IBCLC, an International Board Certified Lactation Consultant. In addition to that, she works for one of our local agencies, our local WIC agencies. She works with a group called Sister Song. She is a trained doula and is providing information to the community and support to the community for the childbearing year. So we cannot wait to share that, the Queen's Chambers interview with Devonna Robertson. And there in our interview, you'll find out where you can find her online and some of the interesting things that she's got going on in the next couple of weeks. During the interview, my two-year-old was awake, even though we did this supposedly after her bedtime. So you might hear her in the background a little bit with her sweet little voice, a little clunking. But I don't think it takes away from the interview in the least.
Yes, yeah. It adds to it, because at the end of the day, like, we're mothers first.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I invite all of the mothers to have your babies around you when you're doing your earth work.
Mm-hmm.
To give them an example. Let them sit in your lap. Let them be with you, because, you know, sometimes that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. And we all accept one another and love each other. So, hey, Kyra.
Come on into the Queen's Chambers.
Well, I would like to start with my disclaimer. Yes, I love it. Right? Give us the disclaimer.
The disclaimer is I am a mother of three, and at any given time you will find me in a public setting, possibly crying, screaming, yelling, standing in a corner, blowing bubbles for my own sanity,
rocking,
pacing, rocking, right? Asking the milkman for a glass of wine. And I say all that to say that I am nowhere near a position where I even try to pretend, because I think anybody who try to sell themselves as a perfect parent, a perfect individual, is simply lying. But I'm nowhere near even trying to portray myself as that woman, that mother.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's me. I'm a mother of three. Brianna is 18, Kiana is 12, and Kian is 11. And they are why my heart beats currently, right? And then I've been in, actually my 11-year-old is the one that introduced me to this world of lactation.
Oh, wow.
So I had breastfed two already, and I got to him, and I was right up the street at Loma Linda Hospital. And I remember I had, it was March. He was born in March, so I had coats in my hand because I overdo it. I had coats, blankets, probably scarves. It might have been 70 degrees outside. I don't know. Because we're in Southern California. Right. But I just remember being, or feeling, maybe emotionally, I also felt heavy and weighed down with a lot of stuff. And I remember prior to getting to the hospital, I called the lactation number or whoever I would call, and I said, if you guys don't help me, I promise you I'm gonna quit. And I was crying, and I don't know who I was threatening, right? Because if you breastfeed or not, lady, I mean, that's on you and your baby, right? And I remember getting to the hospital, I felt like, I don't know if I did, sliding down the wall with all this stuff in my arms with a baby, a 6-year-old and an 18-month-old. And I was just like, I can't do this. This is not what it's supposed to be like. Fast forward a little bit, I went into a WIC appointment, and the lady, I was like, give me formula because this breastfeeding stuff's not working. And she said, you know what? I'm not going to give you formula because you breastfed three babies. I mean, you breastfed two babies already, but you can have a job.
Oh,
and we're offering, she said, we have peer counselors. They don't make a lot of money, but they work part-time, and you can bring your baby to work.
Really?
And I still wasn't so sold on not getting any formula. She just refused to give it to me. And that started my journey with being a breastfeeding peer counselor, meeting awesome women like Gretchen Andrews and Chantel Parker and Glenda Bates.
Yes.
And I think the first day I was in training, Gretchen was up there giving part of her section of the training, and I thought to myself, I want to do what Gretchen does.
Yeah.
And then even just kind of recalling what my recent experience was with Kian, that lactation consultant at Loma Linda, by the way, I wanted to kiss her in the mouth when she thought she gave me what the issue was. She said, I believe you have this, but I've never seen it in brown breast, and most of the textbook are of peach breast.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, that's an issue, right?
Yes,
it is.
We're in Southern California, so I birthed two babies at this house. They see a lot of black women, right? But what does she mean? She's a lactation consultant, haven't seen it in brown breast, haven't seen a picture of it in the textbooks in brown breast. And so, like I've been told, I am on a divine assignment. It is nothing that I would have done on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Not by any means. This is not where I thought I would be, you know, the booby lady, right?
Right. Wow.
That's awesome.
That's pretty incredible. And that led you to be an IBCLC.
Wow. I was looking back at one of my goal sheets. It was like, 6 months, 5 years, and 10 years. And on there somewhere is a CLE and then an IBCLC, and amongst many other things. But it felt good to look back at that and see. Check those off the list, right?
That's amazing.
That don't know the acronym, what is an IBCLC?
That's true.
International Board Certified Lactation Consultant. Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, yes.
And what is a CLE?
Certified Lactation Educator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what you is.
I know, but for the people.
For the people who may not know, right? Don't ask me no more. I think there was only two acronyms I know.
Right.
So. But I did want to say, too, that there's the lactation, there's the birthing, and I'm involved in a lot of learning as well in the community around advocating for education and health and wellness for us black folks.
Yeah.
And then work around mass incarceration. Mm-hmm. And I most definitely see the connection.
Yeah. Wow.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so my sweet spot is to be in a position where I can advocate, grow more women in the work, yeah. And see a shift. The image that I think of is the scene out of Hidden Figures. Is it Hidden Figures?
Mm-hmm. The Space Ladies.
Yes, mm-hmm. when she's like, hold on. She go back and get all the women they come from around that corner, right?
Yes.
That's what I want to see in lactation and birthing work. Ooh, here in Redlands, Highland, San Bernardino. Oh, no. Can I say that?
Yes.
Okay, Redlands, San Bernardino, Highland, Rialto, Colton, right here in IE.
Catching that vision, catching that vision.
So,
oh my gosh.
And not that we're not for all people, but we are unapologetic about being for our people.
That's right. Yes. So, right.
Yeah.
Oh my God. The thing that I hate about when what's his name? Jesse Williams from
Grey's Anatomy.
From the Grey's Anatomy.
Okay.
He posted a video about racism,
mm-hmm.
and then at the end it said Black Lives Matter. And it's like, here we go. All lives matter. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, that's not what we're saying.
Right.
That's
right,
never
right.
what we're saying. That all we know, all lives matter.
Right.
So let's break it down like this. If the pandas are endangered, okay, we know all animals matter, but right now the pandas need a little bit of extra attention.
Right.
And it's like when you put it like that, then people are like, oh, okay, I understand. I mean, that's really all we're saying.
Right.
We're the endangered species,
right.
The underserved, the dying. The dead.
Right.
We need a little bit of extra attention.
Right. The fact that we even have to break it down like that is disheartening, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And we can, it is. And we can say that, okay, well, let's say the pandas who are, possibly facing extinction, you know, and then they, oh, I get it. But all lives matter, right?
Right.
They can't even just leave it there. I get it.
Right.
They got to follow back up with.
Exactly.
Let me remind you that.
Well, I feel like
everybody matters.
I'm not sure we want to take this little meandering down this path, but like it's. I feel like it's all related a little bit more to white fragility.
Yeah.
Like they feel so uncomfortable just to have this particular group singled out, and makes them feel uncomfortable. Like, do you understand that your discomfort is not nearly as important as people dying?
Yeah.
How do we let you know that's such that's a huge thing? People are actually dying. And you don't want to say Black Lives Matter because it makes you cringe a little bit inside.
Right.
Maybe we should explore that just a little bit.
Right. I love that the California Breastfeeding Summit a couple of years ago, Kimberly Seals said, and we don't have time to stop and explain to you white women how to fix y'all issue. It's not
mm-hmm.
our issue. Like, we can't be in our black skin and your white skin at the same time.
Right.
And
that's right.
We can't make you feel comfortable. We have too much work to do.
Yes.
We can't.
Yes.
We don't have. And then the women were offended by that. Well, what do you mean? Well, who are we supposed to ask if we can't ask you? And to walk around in our black skin is.
Sorry.
What happened?
I'm sorry. I'm just like, what? Like, okay, let me calm down. Like, how the fact that you would even expect on I'm going to cuss. The shit that we deal with on a daily basis.
Yes.
Now I have to come behind and coddle you and your feelings. Who's helping us get through our issues?
Through our
day-to-day.
It can't be that bad, you guys. We've had a black president,
like,
and that's where.
Like,
that means nothing.
Lose me with that.
This is 2018, And what do you mean women are dying? I mean, even women in general, right? I think that's even shocking to a lot of people.
Well,
that
we're such a developed nation.
Yeah. With
goodness,
yeah.
Gracious.
Yeah.
We are. I realized, I learned, we had at one of the places where I work, we hosted a viewing of The Milky Way,
mm-hmm.
which is a documentary about breastfeeding in the United States. And one of the staggering facts that came out in this movie, we are one of four countries in the world that does not have government-based maternity leave.
Mm.
And the other three countries, they're like, I don't know, third, fourth world countries.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if we actually have fourth world countries.
Right.
But I'm just saying, very underdeveloped nations.
Mm-hmm.
We are the only first world developed country that doesn't have support in a real way for moms who to protect their jobs and to provide resources for them. So, I mean, like, what?
And you really have to look at, I mean, if our women who bear the children and our children have no value, then really what does that say about the
country?
Our future
has no value.
Yeah, our future has no value, and then what, you know, it says our our treasure is where our heart lies. Mm-hmm. And where does our heart lie in this country if you look at the value that women of childbearing mm-hmm. age hold here, or mm-hmm. that even our small children hold?
Yeah.
Very little mm-hmm. in the eyes of a lot of folks. And so I hope that we are going to be part of that change.
Yes. Yeah.
No, we already are. Yes. It's happening.
Yeah. It is happening.
Yeah. And I mean, and we're standing on the shoulders of some mighty women who look like us.
Yeah.
A variation of shades of beauty, right? But who have been doing this work since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
And so, but we're reclaiming our rightful position.
Yes.
And that's why when you were saying I'm training to be a trainer, no, you're already a trainer,
right? Mm-hmm.
Because of the blood that runs through your veins, and the ancestors that have gone before you, and what you know. The fact that you're maybe waiting to get certified from an organization is, to me, kind of like small.
It's like a little.
It's just a little check mark. Yeah. But you've been ready.
We know the women that we serve, most of them do not care about any certification in which we've received.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, can you help me? Can you support me with a level of compassion that I might not receive elsewhere?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I know our certification and training is important, and it holds a lot of weight in a lot of arenas. But on the very basic level, the mommy wants to know that we care, we love them.
And at the end of the day, you know what you know, whether you have a piece of paper or not.
That's right.
I agree.
Yeah.
So, I agree.
Why do we need a Black Breastfeeding Week?
I know, right? We need a Black Breastfeeding Week because I matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because you matter.
Mm-hmm.
Your three babies matter.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You matter.
Thank
Your
you.
Two babies matter. Mm-hmm. Our mothers matter. Our aunties mattered. Our grandmothers mattered. We exist in a space that often tells us that we don't matter.
Yes.
That everything about us can be bought, packaged, and sold.
Yes.
At a very high price. But the women who naturally carry it do not matter.
Right.
And
Come on, say that.
Only do we not matter, but the essence of who we are as Black women is ugly on us, but valuable on others, right? And so, number one, to Devonna, the most important reason that we celebrate Black Breastfeeding Week is because we matter.
Yes.
And we deserve to be celebrated.
Yes.
I never heard it like that before.
And not to take anything away from the Black woman or any other woman who makes a conscious decision not to breastfeed.
Yes.
You matter as well.
Yes.
But when we choose to do something, often in a space where we're the only ones doing it, we should celebrate that woman.
Yes. Yes.
You know, we should.
Yeah.
We should celebrate Black Breastfeeding Week because we respect the women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? And so I have a level of respect for women who say, you know what, I know what you're saying, and I understand that you're telling me that it's best for my baby and it's best for me, and on and on and on, but I choose not to, and I respect that.
Yeah.
I respect that woman who says, in spite of it all, I'm going to keep pushing through and do what I feel, even if I don't understand all of the importance of it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know anything really about breastfeeding until I got to the third one.
Yeah.
When I was ready to quit is when I began to learn all of the benefits, right? Yes. So I was grateful that, you know, so I respect that woman that was me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Who said, you know, he used to say I was flat chested. So I told him that these breasts ain't for no man at 12 years old, right? These breasts ain't for men. They're for my baby. And so when I had my first baby, I had to keep my word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
A lot of us make decisions that later on we'd be like, well, I'm glad I made that decision. At the time, we really didn't understand it. So I have respect for that woman who chooses to do something or chooses to do what nobody else is doing around her.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And those are some of the top reasons why I think it's important to celebrate Black Breastfeeding Week. But also, so I love Kimberly Seal. So she also talks about who does the breastfeeding.
Yeah.
Is it the mother or is it her community?
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't mean no good to preach to the choir.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm going to say that that's the mommy. If all mommies are willing to hear what I have to say about breastfeeding and they say, oh, yay, I'm going to do it. But I'm not talking to her sister, to her cousin, to her auntie, you know, the people that are supporting her community.
Her tribe.
And so my attitude with breastfeeding is, I mean, of course, I want every woman to exclusively breastfeed her baby. And I know that there are some situations where that's not doable. Right. But majority of us should be able to. But I also don't want to be that professional who makes you feel like you're nothing because you didn't get to accomplish that, right? Because my goal, especially when we're talking about breastfeeding in a Black woman, is to not tear you down for a decision that you made, but to hopefully treat you with such a level of respect and honor and love that when your sister gets pregnant, you're not going to say, don't breastfeed. I didn't breastfeed. You're going to say, I know this lady that, you know, and she's all for it. And she excited about breastfeeding. You want to do, you know, talk to her. And I hope that that's one of the shifts that we can begin to help make. That's right. Awesome. So that even if a woman that I've helped says, I don't want to breastfeed, but I haven't left such a negative or nasty taste in her mouth that she just dismisses it for everybody else. And so, you know, or this was my experience, but that doesn't mean it'd be yours. Go seek somebody out there, because there's people out like Devonna and Deidre and so on and so forth, Clarice and Liza, who look like you and who care and who have a understanding of what you're going through.
Right.
And so that's why it's important.
Yeah.
Just some of the reasons. Yeah.
Beautiful. I love that.
Goodness. I mean, I feel like the natural question right after that, I'm not sure it's on the actual list, but a natural question right after that is how do we reach those women? How do we like build rapport with them so they trust us, so they come? We started this podcast because a year ago, last year on Black Breastfeeding Week, I took over a breastfeeding support group. And the intention was to have brown mamas come to the support group. And I had maybe 12, 14 women at the very first Black Breastfeeding Week support group. We were like, okay, they're going to come back. They're going to come back. This is great. And like within 3 weeks, I had a new support group.
Yeah.
It was like, and some
crickets. It was a shift in atmosphere, right?
Exactly. And so I'm like, what happened? Where are these ladies? I just let it be, whatever. I kept showing up, you know, sometimes one mom would come here, one mom would come there, but nobody consistently in the group itself, like the group itself exists, but again, for a different group, a different group of people.
Demographic.
Yes, that's it. That's the right word. So like I got so fed up. I'm like, I want to talk about this. I want to talk more about, you know, and share information and issues with our community, bring more awareness. Mm-hmm. And so we started this podcast in February after planning for a couple months, but I'm like, What do I do? Am I not in the right places? Am I not providing enough consistency? How do I create space for our mothers? Because I know they're out there.
Yeah.
I know we got Black people in our area. Right. But I'm kind of like at a loss. I'm like, what am I missing? Or what do we need to do?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I most definitely want to say we don't want to think out of deficit, right? And so I'm a believer, so I think you're in the right place.
Yeah.
Right? And something that my auntie told me years ago is, Devonna, you cannot do everything. You got 3 small children, right? So then, not that I take heed to that advice all the time, but I have to remember that I can't be all things to all people right now, because I have little people that are still heavily responsible, that I'm heavily responsible for. But where can I begin to plant those seeds and water those little plants so that they can begin to grow? We are here.
Yeah.
We have to be willing to go out to them, because there's such a distrust for the systems here in this country that we can't. I mean, even if we have it in a nice location and we say, you know, you're welcome, and there's other women in here that look like you, that doesn't necessarily get us in the room.
Right.
Right. But if we show up and we begin to show our face in their circle, and we develop a relationship and a rapport with them, and then I think building can happen at that point.
Yes.
But we can't be everywhere, and we can't, because we all have, all three of us, we still have little ones.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Little.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I believe, well, I consider this work a ministry.
It is.
So it starts at home, and so we don't want to forsake our own children while trying to. And this is heavy work.
It is. It is. Spiritually, emotionally, it's heavy.
It is.
It's a lot.
And we do want, I mean, you know, you catch me on 5 days out of the week, I'm like, let's take over the world with this thing, right? But really, if it's okay for me to say this, is, you know, and this is just something that I've had to constantly be in prayer about, when, where, why, and how, you know. Right now my where is Akuma Unity Center in San Bernardino, on the west side of San Bernardino, and Mama Kim and Jennifer have granted me space to work with women one Saturday out of the month. And to be honest, if I request more, I wouldn't be surprised if they would grant more. I just said, let's start small and see how it goes. And we did a 6-month trial, and Mama Kim said, okay, well, what's your next dates? We need to have those dates out and available. Yeah, so the fact that she's willing to continue to give me space in a community of women who look like us is a blessing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have one mommy sometimes. Sometimes we have two. Mm-hmm. I think the most we've had at one time might be three. But I've also learned that if I have an impact, or not I, but if we, the women who are there to assist these women, that's generations changed, right?
Is.
And sometimes we have to be mindful of the ripple effect that we have with one individual instead of like a large group of women.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like we don't have time to waste.
Right? It's a balancing act.
At the same time, we're like, we don't have time to waste because we're having babies.
Right.
Exactly.
And, you know, us screaming from the rooftop and it seems like nobody's hearing is, you know, it's sad sometimes.
Yeah.
And so I don't have that answer for you. I went all the way around the Mulberry Bush to say that. I don't, to say we only could do what we could do when we could do it. I don't know.
Right.
But I think we do have to go out.
Okay.
I think we have to go out where we know that they are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like, you know, we are so diverse.
Yes.
You know, we are so diverse, and we want to create a space. I mean, in my ideal space would be women that cross the spectrum in age, in socioeconomic status, education level, because then we get to
learn from each other's experiences.
Yes. Yeah. And that we're at the very root of it. We're women bearing children. And so you remove all those other titles.
Right.
I'm a woman just like you're a woman, and what can I learn from you, and what can you get from me?
Right.
You know, and how can we support each other?
Right. And I think that's why there is never any competition with anybody who's doing what you're doing, because you have your prayer of where and how, and you're going to get those instructions and you're going to go, and I'm going to have mine and you're going to have yours.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, we're all on the same team trying to make where we live, the IE, better, and we want us to thrive and, like you said, break those generational, that generational bondage that we deal with.
Right, right.
You
and
know?
Reality is, even if we wanted to compete,
right,
we still ain't got to. It's so many. It's so few of us, and so many of these women to serve.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's enough.
So that
everybody.
I mean, there really is the challenges to get out and find them and let them know that we're here. I went to a meeting up the hill, and I mean, you know, it's a lot of us up there.
Yeah, there are.
I was hearing how some of the doctors refuse to see some of the moms because they're so late in their pregnancy, and then I'm just like, well, and I'm just like, you know, as doulas, we're not birthing babies, but I just want to, you know, they need us. They need us, and we need them. We need, you know. And not that these moms can't advocate for themselves, but it just hurts to know that in 2018, we've come so far and gone so little all at the same time, you know, so,
You know, what we want to know is what contributes to the low breastfeeding rates in the Black community? Why are we not breastfeeding?
So my opinion, this ain't nobody but Devonna's opinion. We are, hence the name of my thing, Vonna's Front Porch. I think we're lacking the front porch, right? And so if, well, number one, there's the historical piece that has to do with, some people try to minimize how heavily that still has an influence on our current situation,
right?
We have been intentionally ripped apart, torn apart, every which way possible. They have attempted and been successful in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. So there's a historical piece that has a heavy influence on, and I don't like to say we don't breastfeed because we do, but on lower rates or the lower initiation rates or the duration not being
the
as
duration.
Long as recommended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also, in our community, I pay a lot of, I hate to use the word respect, but the crack epidemic.
Yeah.
You think about all of the women, all of the mothers that were not given an opportunity to mother and nurture their babies at breast because of an addiction that was intentionally planted in our communities.
Right.
And so now I see women who their mother and grandmother, thank God, are still here, but they were both addicted.
Yeah.
So that's already two generations removed of a baby being at breast. And then depending on the circumstances of that young lady, who was giving her tools on how to be a mother and how to do the most natural thing, right?
Right, yeah.
And so how were these babies that were not being fed at their mother's breast fed?
Right.
Whether it be by another relative or if they were in the foster system or if they were adopted out or whatever the circumstances may be. I think that also has, that's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because I just feel that there's a huge connection there even with parenting.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
Right. And so definitely. If I'm going to say that has a huge impact on parenting, why would that not also have a huge impact on our breastfeeding rates as African American women?
Yeah, that's the first parenting duty decision. That you do
right outside of deciding to get prenatal care
right
your second one is how am I going to feed this baby when this baby gets here
right
you know and so how do I know to feed my baby at breast when I've not seen my sisters or my cousins or my aunties and my mama didn't do it and my grandma didn't do it
right
you know and I know that's not all of our story
right
that's not every black woman's story
right
but then there was a time where to seem like you were a part of, you know, society or those who had in society, you did what they did.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they were not breastfeeding.
Yeah. And lack of support also.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because if, like you were talking about the woman in the beginning, how she may choose to do it for a short amount of time. But she may tell her sister, hey, you should do it. I didn't have the support, but maybe you will.
And I will support you.
Yeah. Right. And I will support you. I mean, You need some support,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Support, and even from the father.
Right.
Right? Goodness, so yes. I love to ask dads, what's the culture of feeding the children in your family?
Mm-hmm.
And I love when I hear dads say, everybody breastfed, that's why she breastfeeding. Because mm-hmm. I often get dads who make the decision. It's not the mom who wants to even breastfeed. I have yet to experience a mom who's like, he is literally like, I mean, with a gun to my head forcing me to breastfeed right. But they're usually like a little reluctant, like I don't want to do it, but he's saying, you know, this is how his babies is gonna be fed, and so I'm gonna do it right. And I often see that morph into something beautiful, right? It's no longer something that I'm doing just because he said I had to, but because I appreciate this beautiful act that's taking place. But the support from the father, and guess what, when I talk about incarceration, if the father is incarcerated and, you know, not there and able to support me, even the simple, the gestures, the loving pat on the back, the rubbing of my feet, or the the little kind things that he might say to, you know, to keep me going.
Yeah.
All of those things have a huge impact on a woman's success. Again, it goes back to what Kimberly said, who does the breastfeeding, the woman or her community.
So you mentioned the front porch that you're doing.
Yes, I love that.
Yes, and I know you have trained to be a doula. Mm-hmm. What else? What is your regular job?
Yeah. Well, wait, I want to hear more about the front porch. What is the front porch?
Tell us a little bit more about the front porch.
You said we're missing the front porch. What is that?
Vonna's front porch. So, you know, Devonna, my nickname is Vonna. And so Vonna's front porch is just really trying to create that space, a gathering space, a gathering place, rather, where... listen, I try to get some help with a logo, and the lady was like, well, you cannot put a mural on a business card, because I'm like, I need the oak tree in the front yard, and then I need the porch to wrap all the way around the house, right? And I need like a rocking chair, and then I need the hanging swing, and I just need multiple generations, and I need all the black people to be in all shades, and then I need, you know, I need some men barbecuing, and I need, you know, a dog. And the lady was like, sweetheart, what color is your thing? Like, you don't even got the colors, but you got this whole mural. And so, but I mean, that's just what I, you know, we're lacking the front porch. We don't have a place where the 2-year-old who's sitting on the porch on the steps playing with her blocks is, you know, not aware of, but just that is seeping into the essence of who she is. Just the wisdom from the women that are the young girls, and then the women that are there having conversation. And that's where you learn how to be a woman. That's where you learn how to be a mother.
Good. I know. It's so
that's
good.
How you learn where to be a wife.
That's
how you learn how to be a community member, and how to care and tend to each other with a sense of sternness but gentleness all at the same time, right? And so I think we're missing that. And so I just want to create in my little way, and I shouldn't say in my little way, but however God sees fit, for me to create that space where women can gather and have the the general, which is why I think it's important to have a diverse group of women. So like, in some situations, like if we're dealing with teen girls and or teen moms, and okay, that's good to have, because then they're amongst their peers.
Yeah.
But there's a time where peers is not good enough.
Yeah.
Right? We need to have women that we look to. Mm. And then we also need to have women that we can look back on, or young girls and pour into. And so
yeah,
that's Vonna's Front Porch. And so that's what I'm in the process of trying to carry out full term and then birth.
Yes, I love that.
Vaginal, natural.
Right.
No C-section, no medication type of birth.
Like a little birth center adjacent to the front porch. Yes.
So that's Vonna's Front Porch. And that will consist of a lot of, not a lot of things, but I think some important pieces for me is a space where other women, I mean, literally, I don't, you know, we talked about the certification and all of that stuff. I just want women to have basic knowledge and skills that if their neighbor or their sister or their cousin is pregnant and having a baby, I mean, they can just give them nuggets all along the way, right, to help equip them, right? You don't have to become my 12-year-old told me last year when she was 11 that she is going to be a lawyer / lactation consultant. I'm like, that's right. Whatever else you're doing,
yes,
do.
Yes, that's right.
Right?
Yes.
But have those skills where you can assist another woman in her journey as a woman. Mm-hmm. Right?
I love this.
And so that's Vonna's Front Porch.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You just made my day. Oh. You really did. Like, when we get done, I'm going to tell you and you'll see why.
Okay. 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 I can't wait. So that's Vonna's Front Porch. I am a breastfeeding peer counselor for one of the local WIC agencies. We target African-American women or women who have had or is having a baby by African-American man. And we create a space where we can talk about parenting issues or parenting related topics, as well as breastfeeding, birthing. And then the goal is for us to do a little bit of facilitating and allow the moms to share and have a voice. I think that's something else. We shouldn't have to, but we have to give women permission to tell their story.
I love it.
And to remind them how valuable their story is, because it's not only good and healing for them to be able to say, this is what my journey was like.
Yeah.
But it's also for good for those of us who have the pleasure of hearing it.
Yes.
And their story is not any less, and in a lot of cases, more valuable than the celebrities that people ran. I mean, when people found out Beyonce was breastfeeding, I was like, if I get one more text or email that this woman is breastfeeding. I mean, I like it because on the front line, I mean, she's big. So then people, she's doing it, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I need women to know that the average woman is breastfeeding her baby and folding laundry or not folding it like me, just putting it on the couch in a special place. But making, you know, trying to make their household run while doing their daily duties, and they get it done while, you know, the mommies who go to work and continue to provide breast milk for their babies, right? So giving women permission to tell their story, to be in a space that's safe, and hopefully a space that we make that's not judgmental.
Yes.
And hopefully a space that we partake some knowledge and skills, and also be willing to learn from the mommies that we serve. So, so that's my regular gig. And then I do some work with an organization called COPE, which is Congregations Organized for Prophetic Engagement. And that's where I'm learning how to be a advocate around our health and wellness, education.
That we were training women to
Sisters Mentally Mobilized. Yes, COPE was the local host, and the Sisters Mentally Mobilized will be back.
Okay.
They're going up north and they're doing the training, and they're doing Oakland, Sacramento, they're doing it in LA, but I think they'll end back in Riverside. So anyone listening, if you're interested, please reach out to these ladies here, because they'll be back, and it's awesome. It was an awesome opportunity. And so their motto all is about, you know, sister circles and having the space again to support each other and remove some of the stigmas around mental health and mental wellness.
Yes.
You know, so we wish we didn't need it.
Right.
Right. Wouldn't it be so nice if we didn't need to create these spaces? But we do.
Right.
Yeah. And so somebody has to be willing to host it. And,
yeah.
You know, or somebody has to be willing to show up and say, you know, this is not okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In Sacramento.
Yeah.
Or at your local, you know, city meeting, or even at the school district.
Yeah.
You know, so one of the beautiful things I love about, I feel like an octopus. that's what we are.
Yeah.
When you're, because we're that, the I don't even know what the terminology is, but we the head and I guess whatever torso the octopus got, right? And then we got all the arms and stuff. And I mean, because we reach out, we know what a woman's dreams are.
Yeah.
We know what her sex life is or isn't.
Yes.
We know what her work things are going on. We know what her personal thing, what, you know, her likes and dislikes. I mean, we know a lot about this woman because all of that is incorporated in her feeding this baby ten plus times a day.
Right.
And so, but because we have that very special space, we're also able to encourage and uplift and even simply just lend a shoulder to cry on if that's what is needed, to talk about the changes that take place when we birth these babies and not letting temporary situations have an impact on the permanence of our breast milk in our baby system. You know what I'm saying? And so these spaces are important. And never do I want to minimize, even if it's just us and one other woman in that space.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's the way it was supposed to be that time.
Yeah, I believe that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, because I've gone, you know, I've set up even just since being at Akuma and, you know, they're gracious. They get there early. They let me in so I can set up and I'll have, you know, food and stuff. And it's way more than I need to have. But what I do want to say, I think my first official session there, the women that had RSVP'd had sent me like an hour before. They were like, we're not going to be able to make it. Unfortunately, some things happen, right? My sister, who is another IBCLC and doula, Clarice, was like, I called her because I was trying to catch her before she got to San Bernardino because she's making like a 45-minute drive to come support me and be with me in this journey. And I'm so grateful for her. And she said, I'm coming anyway. We'll just do yoga.
Yeah.
Right. And so my attitude was, I'm in San Bernardino, so it's no thing for me to get here set up and just be available because I said I would be here. Right. Yeah. Yes, I would like you to RSVP, but just in case women drop in, I was available.
Yeah.
So she came anyway. We did yoga. And by the time we were done doing yoga, here comes two mommies walking through the door. One pregnant mommy and one currently breastfeeding mom.
Nice.
And so that just speaks to, it's important if we say we want to be there and be available to your mom, show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if it's one mommy and if it's no mommy, you know, just the fact that I value this time, I'm committed to this time, I'm committed to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to be here.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
I love it.
Thank you so much for taking this time. It was, I know, super last minute. Super late. And then, of course, who's not tired at the end of the day? Parenting three kids and then, working a regular job. But we are super, 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 oh my gosh, I don't even know the word. I am astounded and amazed and in awe of you, but also my gratitude. My heart is super full. Thank you so much for joining
us.
Well,
my heart is just as full. You ladies are very easy on the eyes. So that's nice, right? And it's good to see good looking women do their thing. Right. Both, and you know, so I'm just putting that out there. I don't know if y'all got pictures with your podcast stuff.
Yeah.
So if y'all didn't know, these are beautiful sisters and they raising their babies and they advocating and speaking up on injustices around birthing.
Yeah.
And all the other good stuff that you guys are committed to. Mm-hmm. So thank you for allowing me in your space.
Totally.
I'm honored.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
Where can the people find you? Where online and on social media? I know you're not super active, but you're there and you post, at least you post your meetings once a month. I know that.
Yeah. And I don't even do that. Clarice does that for me. So I'm thankful for her.
Thank you, Clarice.
I have a team of women who like, we're going to get you together, Devonna. And I'm like, I know, I appreciate you guys. I'm on Instagram. It's Vonna's Front Porch. And you can find me there. And I'm going to do better with keeping updated information as far as what's going on and where we'll be. If it's okay if I give a plug for our Black Breastfeeding Celebration.
Please tell us about your Black Breastfeeding Celebration.
So, myself and some other beautiful women, both in Riverside and San Bernardino County, have planned our Black Breastfeeding Celebration once again. Same event, two locations. So Saturday, September the 25th, we will be at Valley College. Yes.
August 25th.
Thank you. Uh-huh. August 25th, 2018. We will be at San Bernardino Valley College between 11 and 2, celebrating Black Breastfeeding Week. And then again in Riverside on Friday, August the 31st, 2018, 11 to 2. We will have a phenomenal speaker. We'll have lunch and opportunity drawings. And just we're going to create a space of celebration for you women. And just remembering that love is on top.
That's right. That's the theme this year. And then didn't you say you're going to be doing an Instagram Live?
Yes, thank you. I'll be doing an Instagram Live with Lydia Boyd on this coming Sunday, August the 26th, I believe at 6 p.m.
Okay. And that's Pacific time?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome.
I hope, because if it ain't, I don't know what time I'll be on. I think that that's right. Thank you, ladies.
No, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so, so much. That was an incredible interview. Thanks again, Devana. We are so glad that you were able to join us. I cannot wait for the people to get to know you a little bit better. Don't forget to check her out on Instagram, especially with her upcoming talk on August 26th. If you're not local for any of those breastfeeding events that she's going to be helping to host on the 25th and the 31st, feel free to check her out on Instagram, and we'll put the link in the show notes to that and the more and the details. So this week, instead of a queen's quote, we've got, what are we calling it?
A queen's question.
Queen's question. We want to hear a little bit about your perception around breastfeeding. I want to know, or we would like to know, more about what you thought about breastfeeding, perhaps before you became childbearing age, or what some of the ideology that you held as you approached adulthood, or if you have not had children, what is it that you think about breastfeeding? And then if you are a mother and have breastfed, what has your breastfeeding experience been like? What are some of the struggles and challenges and triumphs that you've encountered during your breastfeeding journey? Where can they share that information with us, Janisha?
So you can send us an email at thequeenteampodcast@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on Instagram at thequeenteampodcast. Or you can visit our website if you just want to simply catch up on some old episodes at thequeenteampodcast.com.
Mm-hmm. We look forward to seeing you. We're also on Facebook. Did you say that one too?
Oh, yes. We are on Facebook.
Yes.
At the Queen Team Podcast as well.
Exactly. So where can people find you personally, Janisha?
Me? Well, I have expanded a little bit.
What? Tell us, girl.
But the easiest way to get in touch with me is through my website. You can find me at lovetobeyou.com, and that's spelled LUVTOBEYOU.com. And from there, I actually have two Instagram pages now.
Mm-hmm.
My original Instagram page, which is for lactation and doula services, and that's at lovetobeyou. And then I also have a new Instagram page specifically catering to my ladies who are in emotionally abusive relationships are recovering from them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is the Toxic Relationship Coach.
Nice.
And you can find me on Facebook at the same handle. I have support group for my Toxic Relationship Coach, and I have a support group for my mamas, my doula and lactation clients.
Mm-hmm.
All of that can be found on my website.
Mm-hmm.
So visit my website, lovetobeyou.com.
So I also have a very exciting announcement. I'm also expanded a little bit. I am in the process of pulling together
a lot of bit.
a doula coaching business where I am helping women who would like to become doulas, or doulas who would like a little bit more inspiration, or doulas who are feeling a little burnt out, to encourage them along in their journey and give them more information. Right now, all I've got out there is my Instagram, and it's the.centered.doula. So the Centered Doula is what the business is going to be called. And if you are interested in becoming a doula or would like more information on how to kind of refresh your business a little bit, feel free to DM me there at the.centered.doula to start your doula journey or kind of get some tools to kind of move forward in a new way. So I'm really, really excited that I'm starting to put it out there. This is really the first time I've ever said anything about it. So
I'm
very excited. Yes. We're really glad that you joined us on this episode. Next week, we hope to hear some of the answers to your questions and a little bit about your stories and journeys, as that is going to be the last day of Black Breastfeeding Week. And so we hope that you enjoy your Black Breastfeeding Week despite what's going on. And no,
guys, I can't do this.
I'm sure the fuck is making her. Hey, do you want to say hi to the people?
Yeah, let her talk.
You say hi to, hi, my name is Kyra.
I'm breastfeeding, and I'm 2.5 years old, and I like to breastfeed.
Can you tell you what mommy's boob does for you? Does it make you smart and strong? They can't see your sweet smile. So no matter where you are, we hope that you are also able to pass on the encouragement of Black Breastfeeding Week, whether it is supporting a mommy in your area or sharing information about it. Bye, cuties.
Bye, cuties. Ready.
Yeah.
Deidre will be taking clients. Please call us at 1-800 Deidre Knows Everything. And she will take you and make you amazing.
That's right. That's right.
So
yes. Speak it. Speak it.
I love it.